We are excited today to have the Lutes with us. Dave and Chelsea is Dave and Alice's daughter. Young Dave is not, it's his son-in-law, which I thought you were his son at first. It was kind of weird. And we have Hannah with us, and we have Joshua. Where's Joshua? Oh, there he is in the back. Okay. Now, are you going to have the kids come up with you today, too, or just you two? Okay. Well, the service is yours. Come on up, and I might, if we get into questions and answers, I might pull my chair up and sit beside you, but until you do that, I'll turn it over to you, and thank you for coming, sharing with us.
Well, I am David, not to be confused with Dave, so I'm David. My wife, Chelsea. My oldest son is in the back in the sound booth, Joshua, our daughter, Hannah. And we serve as missionaries in Thailand with the International Mission Board at the pleasure of the Southern Baptists. And we've served overseas in Asia for 10 years, 3 countries and 7 languages later. We are still serving and still feel called overseas. Now, initially, I was just told to be done by 5 or 10 till, and I was going to say he didn't tell me 5 or 10 till what. Then I was told 12, but I wasn't told what time zone 12 was or whether that was midnight or noon. I could go Asian style, and we'd be here till 12 of next week, but no. I will be culturally appropriate. So we serve... our family serves, I'm reading this because my wife is the master of words. Our family serves through the International Mission Board's Technology Solutions, equipping deaf and hearing colleagues with tools and training to live confidently and securely, even in the most remote regions. The gospel is for all people, the Great Commission for every believer, both hearing and deaf. So you heard the word deaf in there several times. Our focus is with those who are culturally deaf. When I say we're on our 7th language, it is our 3rd spoken language and our 4th sign language. Every sign language is different. And so, yes, we get to learn and try and figure out how to make our hands talk in a variety of different ways 4 times over now. And it's been our calling ever since we first met. Interesting, I have a question. Well, sort of a rhetorical question. I'll answer it myself. The piece of scripture that impacts deaf people the most is probably not one you thought of. Probably thinking maybe in Mark when Jesus heals the deaf man. Maybe you might stretch and say Revelation when it says every, you know, tongue, every language will be praising God. But you actually have to go way back to the Old Testament. And if you can picture with me, Moses is standing in front of a burning bush, and he's sort of trying to get out of what God's calling him to do. And the last time before God, as the scripture says, gets angry, where it says, the anger of the Lord was kindled against Moses, and then he told Moses to get Aaron. Moses says this, I am not eloquent, neither in the past nor since you have spoken to your servant, but I am slow of speech and slow of tongue. And the Lord said to him, who has made the man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf or seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now, therefore, go and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. For the first time when we told this story in China, I remember a man crying. He said, you mean this was not an accident? I'm not cursed. I was made deaf for a purpose. Our ministry is not a healing ministry. I mean, obviously, we're Baptists. We're not going around healing. But all jokes aside, the Lord has a plan for the deaf, and it is not always healing. This man was crying and said, you mean I'm not cursed? God planned for me to be deaf. It did not ever enter his mind that God would choose for him to be deaf. And he said, why? And it was something he struggles with to this day, but he has come to understand that in God's ultimate sovereignty, he made him deaf, and this man now is out pastoring churches. He is a deaf man. He is a pastor. He is a pastor of churches. As a deaf man, there's no one. I mean, why do I, as a hearing person, need to be over him? I'm not deaf. So he's out pastoring churches in China where the gospel is closed, where the government, especially now, does not like Christians. And this 80-year-old man has come to realize, I am deaf and I am blessed. So our work has changed over 10 years. When we first came to China, 10 years ago, we went overseas. Our daughter turned 3 on the airplane. She had the shortest birthday of her life. Her golden birthday was all of 11 hours long, as it was all on an airplane, and she slept through all of it. But she got to have 2 birthday parties, one before we left, and a whole brand new one in China. When we went over, we came over and we were doing what most of you picture missionaries doing. We were going out, planting churches. We were learning culture, learning language, and we saw God's fruit. He then moved us to Taiwan, where we continued to do similar things, as well as my wife developed curriculum on how other missionaries can learn sign language in any country. She developed a curriculum. I like to brag on her. She's wonderful. She developed a curriculum that has no words. You can take to any country, and you can learn that country's sign language. God just used her unique gifts as an artist, as a creator, and it is still being used by a lot of our missionaries around the world learning sign language, and it's being used by us as we are now learning our 4th sign language. And now we enter into a new phase of our life where we've just moved to Thailand. We haven't even been there a year yet. And we work more as support. We support thousands of missionaries all across Asia in information technology, computers. There are 9 offices around Asia that the team I'm part of gets to help support in terms of their computer crashes, their hard drive crashes. They need networking. They need ways to communicate securely. We've had people been kicked out of countries because messages have been read. I remember when we were in China, my wife and I were talking on just El Cheapo cell phones. What do you want for dinner? What do I need to pick up? And all of a sudden we hear, can you repeat that? I was like, oh, hung up the phone and realized that, yes, our phones were being bugged and monitored. And that's a gift God's always blessed me with. My undergrad degree was in computer science and what I did before we went overseas. And so he's called us into a new phase in our life. But we have not stopped working with the deaf. We continue to learn sign language, and we continue to help as right now in Chiang Mai, there's a very strong deaf church, and so we are trying to support them. We're in a different phase. When we were in China, there was no church. It was going from nothing to finding that first church, and then once that first church was there, how to support that into more churches. When we came to Thailand, before we came, there were already missionaries that had been working in the city we live. And so there's a church. So we don't need to go and look to start a new church. We're now supporting this very strong, blossoming, growing church. And one of the ways we get to do that is as they are translating scripture. The Bible is a great tool. But if it's not in the language you know, how can it be useful? If I were to hand most of you a Bible in Chinese, would you be able to read it? Would you take the time to learn only written Chinese just for God's word? That's what it's like for a deaf person, because sign language and the spoken language are nothing alike. And so when they open it in Thai and see these Thai characters, it is as foreign language to them as Chinese is to you guys. So it needs to be visual. You can't write down. How do you write that down in a Bible? And all that is, hi, my name's David. So it's all video. And so the team, the church in Thailand, we live in a northern city, flew down to the capital this week, and they spent a week with another church down in the capital, Bangkok, and they worked for a whole week on producing more stories. And these stories get filmed, and they get edited, and then they're thrown into an app. And I was blessed to be part of the work of the initial app that was developed, and now there's a new app that's even better. And it's all iconic. You open up the app, and there's no words. But any deaf person can see, oh, this is an icon, meaning what? If they don't know, there's a little button they click, and a person comes up and signs and explains it. And right now, it's in American Sign Language, and we're working on getting all of the stories that have been filmed in Thai, in Vietnam, in the Czech Republic, in China, in Egypt, into this app so it can be spread to these places in these countries where people don't have scripture. So our uniqueness is twofold. My everyday life involves climbing on a bicycle, biking into the office, helping people with a crashed hard drive. The government is now detaining this person. How can we help make sure information isn't stolen? We have a whole volunteer team coming in to a closed country to help smuggle Bibles. How can we communicate securely? Or as simple as my email won't work and I forgot my password. To I'm going to sit down for 2 hours and learn spoken Thai. I'm going to learn Thai sign language from someone else. To helping my wife as we lead our children and foster them as they attend an international school with homework. Supporting her as she needs to go shopping at 5 different stores to just get a week's worth of groceries. How tiring can that be? There's not an Ingles or a Walmart, especially when you don't know how to say, I want that, not that, and you need to buy vegetables from people who don't speak English. To learning how to drive on the left side of the road. And then we get the pleasure of interacting with these wonderful folks who are deaf, who have never seen Jesus. The sign for Jesus universally is that, as he was pierced, showing how where he was pierced. They don't even know what that means. Is that a person? Is that a place? Is that an animal? No concept of who God is. Their idea of God is Buddha or the king. And so we get to share truth for the first time on who Jesus is. And we get to share stories like this one. Who has made a man's mouth? Who makes him mute or deaf, seeing or blind? Is it not I, the Lord? Now therefore go, and I will be your mouth and teach you what you shall speak. And we get to share with them this story that you are deaf and you're not cursed.
So one of the things, actually my background is in deaf education. I graduated from Mitchell High School and went to UNC Greensboro. And so when we moved to China, I learned the sign language there and would go with another deaf Chinese woman into the deaf school, an hour and a half away, or was it more? An hour and a half away. And we'd go every week and we would teach English, but we'd also teach American culture, which is things like the Christmas story and Easter story and, oh, it's February, let's teach about love and that kind of thing. So, but I went into the school and I was just getting to know these students, and at that time, China still had the one child policy where you were only allowed to have one child. And I talked to a couple about this and I said, so how did you go about having your child? And they said, well, first you have to have a good job, and then you go to your boss and you apply to have a child, and you have to show your marriage license, and if you don't do that, then you don't have the paperwork for your child to go to school or do any of those things. This child is undocumented, and you have to pay huge fines to get them into the system and that kind of thing. And so I went into the deaf school, and I'm just getting to know the kids, you know, and I said, how many of you have brothers and sisters? And, you know, they raised their hands. They raised their hands. And the reason is because at that time in China, if you gave birth to a child that was not the one you ordered, defective, invalid, not able to support you in your old age, you could request special circumstances to have a second child. So when those kids were raising their hands, they were saying, yeah, I'm not the one that my parents wanted. My younger sibling, that's the one that, you know, got to go to school when they were of age. That's the one that gets the new clothes, or, you know what I mean? That's the one who's they're really relying on. I'm kind of a cast off. So when you hear this story of God telling Moses, it is in my hands. I have made you the way that I have made you. It is my choice, my decision. These people who are really, in their culture, unwanted, it really elevates their value in as they see themselves through God's eyes and as they see themselves differently than their culture ever has. I was teaching in a different school, and I said, how many of you all, if there was a man outside the gate today and he was selling, like, medicines on his cart, because they have tons of vendors, I said, and he said, oh, I can take a deaf person and make him hearing. I said, how many of you would take that pill today? And there were 25 students in that class, and 19 of them said, oh, yeah, I would do it. They didn't see themselves as valuable. They can't drive cars. They couldn't drive cars. They couldn't adopt. The one woman who was close to me when we lived there, her parents forced her to marry a hearing man so that they could have kids that could take care of them. It was just the life that they are handed really has no rights. And I asked the six who didn't raise their hand, I said, why not? And they said, I've had so much medically done to me. I don't want to do any more. You know, there was one girl who said, well, this is just the way that I am. And I was just like, wow, that's really profound for you to say that. But it really is a message of not just, it changes how they see themselves. It changes how they see themselves in their community and their family. And it gives them a relationship with the one who created them. That's the reason it changes it.
Any questions before we? Yeah, and our kids, if you want to ask them questions, why don't you guys come on up and you can ask them.
This is how you say come here in Thailand.
Yes, ma'am.
What is it that the government thinks you all do over there?
So,
right.
So there are, all depending on what country you live in, we have a valid reason for being there. We serve as volunteers in the deaf school there in our city, and we teach English. And so once a week, we go in and we volunteer that. And also, I'm also allowed to volunteer and help do IT work for other nonprofit organizations.
Do
We always do what we say we're there to do. So if we're students, we are in class. And if we're teaching, we are teaching class. But we also, the other side of that is, we also are accountable to a different authority. And that is that that God has called us to be there. You know, when we read in Acts where people are doing things that are, you know, not acceptable or that the government will throw you in jail for, and we understand that that's who we're obeying, I guess, in that sense. So in the one sense, we really do want to honor their government, and we really do want to say we're doing what we say we're here to do. But on the other hand, we have to recognize that they are not our final authority. And I think that is perhaps very threatening to a government in the first place.
Are you any advantages there?
I'll share one of my favorite stories. We had been in China for not even a year, and we were having a church service, and the church decided to have it in the public park. So we had church that started at 10, and we ended at 10. And it ended at 10 because that's when the buses, they needed to get on or they were not going to get back home. And then we went and shared earlier, or we shared the next, that was like on a Thursday, and we shared that on Sunday with our church that we were worshiping with, who were all hearing, and they said, that's just not fair. And I said, didn't anyone stop? We said, sure. At one point, we had 50 people who were not part of our church surrounding, yelling things in Chinese that I have no idea, because all I could say was, I don't understand Chinese, and I'm a foreigner. And I said that bad, as I often said I was a demon instead of a foreigner. tonal languages are difficult. Get the tone wrong, and you say something you do not want to say. So a police officer was there, but we didn't have a Bible out because we were doing it all in sign language. So, yes, there are advantages with that.
And the thing is that, like he said, that our colleagues said, oh, you're so lucky. It's because the deaf people are cast-offs. They are unwanted. The police, they don't care what the deaf people do. And so the gospel is moving among deaf people because they have really unlimited access in that sense. They're not as censored. Sometimes they will text us, I baptized so-and-so today, and we're like, ah! You know, we have to kind of coach them on that. But
you see, this has nothing to do with deaf. This is just your cultural, China, Thailand, Taiwan. Do you see different satanic strategies to keep people from Christ in these different countries, these different cultures? You see Satan doing things one way in one country, another way in another country.
Yeah, very much so. You read in the New Testament when Paul talks about food sacrificed to idols, and we often think, how does this even apply? What does this even mean? We got to Taiwan, and one of the first deaf people we met invited us to his house, and there was an altar, and there was food there, and his dad said, oh, your kids are thirsty, went, grabbed the drinks off of that, and handed it to us, and I'm like, I am living out something I have never thought of, more than this is something that is from a time past. And so in China, the way Satan worked it was, we're all atheists, there is no such thing as religion, why even talk about God? Thailand is the exact opposite. His strategy is to be Thai is to be Buddhist. To be Buddhist is to be Thai. And that separation is very difficult. It is ingrained. You are Thai, you are Buddhist. You are Thai, you are Buddhist. They're white, they can do whatever they want. You're Thai, you're Buddhist. And so Satan's ingrained that into who they are. And so you have two completely different looks on how Satan is using their culture to stop the spread of the gospel.
And then in Taiwan, their thing was very performance-based. So their God was a lot of times their actions, and for the children, their schooling. And so like on their 1,000 bill, it was a school and that sort of thing. And so there was this one kid, one of the people in our company told us a story. It was that they went to a church and this kid's dad was the pastor of it. And one day he took, like after he was done with all his school, he took him to church and his son was like, no, I don't want to go to church. You sent me to boot, like he would send him to school, then cram school, then home. That's how everybody lived. And so he was like, I don't want to go to church. It wasn't important when I was a kid. It's not important now. And so then a bunch of people from the crowd even came up and were like, why didn't you put your child more heavily in school? And so it's just like, it's the school that is, it's the performance, it's your academic standing and knowledge there.
Anybody have one burning question that they really want to ask? I'll give one other person an opportunity.
Huh? 30 or 30 oh. 30 changes between 30 and 33 on an hourly basis.
You going to buy a Pepsi over there or what?
And, I mean, we can answer questions longer. If some of you need to leave, we can be in the back if you have questions. Or. Oh, and on the table with the flower right back there, mm-hmm. we have prayer cards with a picture of our, and on the back there's information and our email address. And if you want to get updates, you can just let us know. If you have other questions, 876 Song Sam Nong Kap Kun Krap.
Thank you very much. We appreciate it.